Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Republic Broadcasting, wow, what a great broadcasting network, and you want to support it by going to republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on the donate button. That's how you support it, because it does take shekels to keep this project going. And you want to go to nationalbugle.com because it's totally awesome. And it's got a lot of good information there. Check it out once a week, at least once a week. And also download the CoCertified app. You can use it for your shopping. It's got a shopping list. You can learn about the whole KQ, the kosher question. And the KQ illuminates the JQ. Okay, well, it is Friday. We've got Philbert Applebag, the prominent, notable musician. He's joining me today. How are you doing today, Philbert?
Hey, doing pretty good. Thank you for letting me join you.
Yeah, and you've got a Spotify channel, or do you not?
No, they've nuked that.
They nuked that? Okay.
I'm pretty sure they nuked that. Maybe at the end of our show today we can, play the song that I would attribute them nuking it for.
Okay.
I didn't have any political songs on Spotify. I was smart enough to, know where the wind was blowing.
But they holocausted you anyway.
Yeah, right. This song I made about, it was just an inside joke I had with a friend, but it was about an extremely overweight guy that was very lazy and just shameless, I'm sure everybody's known at least one of them. But, so I figured I'd make a song about it, and I think that's why they nuked me.
Okay, so today's Friday. It is the week of the Derek Chauvin trial. It is the week of the brutal shooting of a 16-year-old girl who wasn't doing nothing, and all sorts of other stuff. So we're going to have a lot of gut reactions here. The disclaimer at the beginning of the show is that we're actually nice, civilized, understanding people, and we don't dislike people based strictly on their, inborn attributes or color of the skin or anything like that. But honestly, and I'm just going to say, et cetera. All right. I'm just going to put an et cetera on that disclaimer, fill it in with whatever is reasonable, just et cetera. But honestly, there's so much going on, and what's more important than us making disclaimers about how totally not racist we are is venting a bit. Because we as white people were just found guilty of genociding blacks. I mean, think about it. 400,000 blacks came across the ocean to North America in largely Jewish slave trading ships, 400,000. Now, here in North America, or in the United States now, we've got, 40, 50 million? Talk about a genocide, going from 400,000 to 400, an increase of 100?
Yeah, same 100? Story with the Indians, too. Same story with them.
Well,
There's a lot more of them now than there were back then. Maybe not the same number as blacks, but...
Well, in Canada, they say that, but in blacks, you're talking about, 40, 50 million people. That's a huge number of people, right? How many Poles are there, right? That's probably about the same as Poles. And this got born out of a seed of 400,000 people. So what a genocide. But at any rate, you saw a video that was kind of disturbing. Why don't you tell us about it, and we'll have a gut reaction.
Okay, yeah, it's hard. It's important to know that, all this abhorrent violence is out there. So I think it was Renegade Truth I was on. I don't know if you've ever been to that site.
Nope.
Renegade Truth. But it was just an article about black-on-white crime and, how we need to keep on reporting on it. And they had a video that somebody has made and just compilation of just horrendous black-on-white crime. It's some of it's very hard to watch. There was one that just is so disgusting. I can't get it out of my head now, where a big, big old black guy was, beating up a white woman that had, three toddlers and one, in a stroller. and she's already unconscious, and he's just continuing to hit her on the ground, and the toddlers start crying, and one of them actually tries to kick this big black guy that's continuously punching his unconscious mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't know any story behind it. I don't know where that was or whether the guy was even charged.
When was it from? Do you know when it was?
This article was recently. I don't know when the...
incident was recent?
The article that this video was attached to was within a couple days. Mm-hmm. As far as when the video was uploaded or when the event happened, I don't know.
And what's the name of this website?
It is Renegade Truth. The Renegade Tribune.
Renegade Tribune.
Yes, .com.
So I used to, for a couple of years, I was a frequent visitor to Colin Flaherty's YouTube channel. And he had a bunch of stuff like that. But he kept getting the YouTube channel, which had a lot of subscribers, but it kept getting Renegade. It kept getting Showod. And then eventually he's completely kicked off of YouTube. You know, he kept putting up new channels and starting from scratch again. You called it Renegade Truth? Was that what it was?
It's Renegade Tribune.
Renegade Tribune. I take it that's .com.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's check it out. But it had a whole bunch of stuff. The videos were either from local news, mostly. There'd be local news because it never gets in the national news. Or it would be like Black Star Hip Hop or whatever it is, Hip Hop Black Star, which is like black people uploading their own videos that they make of their own criminal activity. And, you know, it's pretty bad. But so you were, before the show started, we were talking a bit, and, you know, you referenced the Holocaust, right? And of course, we could reference that George Floyd, not even the 9-minute video, but just like one freeze frame. And how many times have people seen the picture of Derek Chauvin seemingly with his hand in his pocket, although actually he was just wearing a black glove, seeming to kneel on George Floyd's neck? We've seen that over and over and over and over again. And of course, you know, Andrew Anglin wrote an article the past couple of days, and he was referencing his first exposure to a pile of naked bodies that he saw maybe in second grade when they were doing a Holocaust thing. And so they use these generating images. And, you know, repetitively at young ages, this and that. And yet you've got something like you're describing. Nobody's going to see that, are they?
No, yeah, we should use that. We should use videos like this, you know, to make sure that people know. You know, it's what makes it so disgusting and disturbing is that it's not fiction, you know. I wouldn't even want to see that if it was nonfiction, you know, if it wasn't a movie. I don't want to watch that in a movie. It's disgusting, you know, and that, not to mention, that's the kind of thing a Jew would put in a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm going to check out this Renegade Tribune. It's new to me, but looks kind of interesting. So we've got George Floyd, we know his name. Breonna Taylor, we know her name. Trayvon Martin. It was got a silly name. Trayvon, is that even a real name? Michael Brown. All these people, and we know their names. And maybe you can't recall them, but if there was that Ahmed robbery or whatever his name was, armed robbery, the jogger guy, and we remember all these people. And yet, there's just from the past few weeks, there was that 13-year-old girl in Richmond, Virginia, who was murdered by a 14-year-old who I guess was doing a gang initiation or something. 14-year-old black murders a 13-year-old white girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know her name. I mean, I she has a name, and I've written it down. But
and here's one here. Black man stabs 12-year-old white boy in the neck and yells at white devils. Mainstream media outrage.
When was that?
This article is from March 23rd.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of this. And like, even when that 14-year-old black kid was on the loose and police were looking for him and they had issued a description of him as a like a black juvenile wearing such and such clothes, when the black reporter from Richmond's, you know, local TV station was giving the description, he deleted the black part, right? And I know we've mentioned this before, but there's so much horrible attacks by blacks on whites, and you're never going to see it. And meanwhile, you've got, oh, who was it? Some guy who actually I think is like half Israeli or something, who Amy Horowitz, and I'm wondering, you look at Renegade Tribune, they do identify him as a Jew. Amy Horowitz went to the George Floyd Memorial in Minneapolis and asked some BLM terrorists about whether or not they should be killing white people. Well, I mean, so he asked these people whether these obese black women are actually terrorists or what. I'm not going to say because I don't know about these people. But they're asked questions about, you know, whether white people should be violently attacked. And he gets these people to say, yeah, they should be. You know, they're leading questions. And have you seen that, what I'm talking about?
Yes, I have. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think even Tucker played part of this.
So he's a Jew, the guy that did that? He's Jewish?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I kind of, at first, I took it as like a satire. Like, he's trying to, like, you know, make a statement, like, by pointing out, like when that lady said she thought thousands were blacks were just being gunned down. What is it, 18, I think? So, like, I thought he was trying to make a point in that way, but I'm not surprised.
So I guess for 2020, somebody was keeping records, and maybe of people shot by police, and it's broken down by various categories, whether they're armed or unarmed. And mostly they're armed. But I think unarmed, they might have had 16 black people who were shot by police, and maybe, was it 25 white people or something? There were more. In a typical year, now the numbers are small, but in a typical year, there's more white people, unarmed white people who are shot by police than unarmed black people. And I think there's more white people who are shot by police than black people, even though there's way more blacks involved in violent crime. So that all has to be put in perspective. But so my question about Amy Horowitz, and I don't know the answer, is... okay, so he goes out and he talks to these various people, black people in Minnesota, and he got them all to say outrageous things. Now, I don't think he is directly trying to rile up the black people by asking them leading questions and getting them riled up directly. My question is... is he trying to expose? Is he trying to expose black animosity towards white people, which would be, you know, it's good to expose that because there is a lot of black animosity towards white. Or is he trying to rile up a particular kind of white animosity towards blacks? I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how to look at this. Maybe I should look at it again. But what was your thoughts on this, on the interviewer?
Well, I don't know. He's, yeah, what's his last name? Horowitz?
Yeah, Horowitz.
Okay, yeah. That's the first time I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I It's just the whole thing's disgusting, honestly. It's hard to focus on micro events and not realize the big macro, you know, like transition that we're going on. I'm really worried about, like, I was talking to somebody the other day about, in the same way that police aren't able to police violent blacks, you know, well, teachers and, you know, administrators in school obviously aren't going to do that either. Not mm-hmm. only that, but it's easier for, you know, an adult to use a bunch of big words around a child, you know, that wonders why the kid that beat him up, you know, is getting off scot-free and not being punished, you know, because that's a lot easier to do on a child than an adult. So I would almost say it's probably done even more with children. And I'm really worried about these, like, blacks and these violent thugs that are growing up and not getting disciplined, like, at all. It's like there's no home discipline. And then there's what little they would have, and the school is not even there either. It's just absent. So it's...
Well, and plus they're being indoctrinated in the schools.
Right, right.
You know, my...
And outside of them.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of my nieces said once... This could have had to be at least 10 years ago. She said, is there anything in history besides slavery and the Holocaust?
Yeah. Not on the History Channel. There's not.
Yeah. So there's this indoctrination. Well, and then, of course, even before this kind of indoctrination, so when I was in public school, yeah, I mean, you had Black History Month might be learning about Louis Armstrong and Jackie Robinson or something like that. But, you know, now it's the program has just become so hateful towards whites, and it makes it much, much easier. You know, imagine being in a public school. And even in my era, the blacks were violent and unruly, and you know, you'd get in fights. I don't know. You go get sent down to the principal's office. It's tough. And so where are we going? Okay, here's a question. So regular white people, so I guess some of them are just going to buy it hook, line, and sinker because they've got so much invested in it already that they can't change courses. Are you seeing people who might have been going along with the program but are now just saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong here?
Well, I mean, I would get this little bit of white pill out. It's a small white pill, but it's whiter than Maine still. So
it's whiter than what?
Than Maine. The okay. state. Well, they're trying to change that too. But that, anyway, a little white pill you can take is that people that, and whites amongst other people, but not only white.
Hello?
I'm sorry. I accidentally muted myself.
It's boomerism. It's contagious.
People that were so peaceful and stuff, like to join the Peace Corps and such. Like, those people are buying weapons now, and I don't blame any of them, you know? Like, they're buying guns for the first time. Like, you know, guns, that's another reason why the Sniffer-in-Chief is trying to, you know, cancel guns. And a lot of states are making legislation to prevent that. But anyway, I think that's a white pill. Lots of Asians are buying guns, too.
Yeah, and the Asians...
I can't blame them either.
The Asians who were born in Asia who are actually immigrants and weren't raised here, they are so, from my experience, they are so anti-BLM, and they just can't imagine why America's letting this go. But anyway, we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
We are back. All right, so we've got public schools, which in the words of our fake president, have become a racial jungle, right?
That's right, he did say that.
He did say that.
Was that in the 90s?
I think it was. It might have been in the 70s.
Okay.
It was pretty early on. But in the 90s, he was talking about locking up predators. Or did he use the word predator? I don't know. But he said,
I think Clinton did, right?
Yeah, Clinton used Hillary Clinton were super predators. Biden, I think, was saying he doesn't care what somebody's background is. If they commit the crime, they got to do the time. He doesn't care about any of that other stuff, which is so totally racist.
Yeah.
So people have exposure through public schools, for the most part. I was in the Boy Scouts. The whole time I was in the Boy Scouts, there were two blacks who were part of the troop. And they were older than me. And, you know, one graduated from high school, moved on. The other was, who was a little less old, but he was a nice kid. It didn't really make a big difference. And then he moved on, too. But, you know, there might be sports teams. There might be other things. What about the boys and girls clubs? Because they seem pretty urban to me.
Yeah. Yeah, they're almost like a daycare thing. I got a little experience with them myself. I think when I was probably like 9, maybe. Yeah, 9 or 10. Yeah, I got jumped, like, by, you could say, a very multicultural experience, you know, by a roving pack of, you know, multiculturals. So, yeah, that's a good experience. And they hired him a lot there, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember getting sent to, like, the office for calling one of them a meanie. Like, a meanie. I literally called somebody a meanie. And I was, like, 10 years old. And since I was white, this black lady says, oh, that's it. And, yeah, she, like, sent me to – and the white guy that was, like, the administrator there, like – I don't know. I don't remember the look on his face, but, you know, looking back at it, I can just imagine what he was thinking. It's like, what is wrong with you? Like, what did this kid said, meanie? And, like, yeah. Yeah, I remember, and one time, they have a gym there, right, where you can, of course, play some basketball. And I just wasn't feeling good one day, and they were, like, literally tried to force me to play basketball, you know, and I remember puking on the gym floor and got in trouble for it. And I warned him. I told him I wasn't feeling good, but, you know. And again, it was like a black – they had these, like, staff members, you know, that would, for the most part, you know, monitor the kids and stuff and, like, administer, like, activities and games and such. But, yeah, it was I remember it was a black guy that was in charge that day at the gym. Like, it's just all ironic, right? All ironic. Or it's super, super wasteless to point it out, I guess.
Well, speaking of saying words like meanie and getting in trouble, there was a communications professor somewhere, and I guess he was giving a lecture, and he was talking about these filler words. You know, when I'm talking, I say a lot. I know I do, and I shouldn't, but I do because I can't help it, because my mouth goes faster than my brain does. My brain is slowed down from, like, all of the acid I dropped at Woodstock or whatever, so it slowed my brain down, and I'll say, and in other languages, there are other words. So in, I don't know what you say in French. I don't even remember. It's, or in Japanese, ano, and which means that. And in, Chinese, apparently it's that too, which can be naga or nega. And so the communication professor started saying, you know, so nega, nega, nega. Well, he got in a lot of trouble for saying that, and I guess he's been suspended from his job. More details on that to come. But
have you seen a video of this? Is old. This is probably 5 or maybe more years old. It was in Taiwan, and I think it's something similar to that. In Taiwan, like niga means like new. And as in, like, something brand new. And this guy was talking about, like, a new something new that he got. And he said it, like, 3 or 4 times. And there was this black guy that was – it was on a, like, a subway train that they're in. And of all people – it's in Taiwan. There was a black guy there. And, like, he noticed that. And, of course, he thought that they were talking about him. And, like, he proceeds to, like, beat the guy up. And, like, it's – I don't know. Have you seen the video? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I saw that on YouTube years ago, you know, before they started the mass, you know, eye-shutting campaign.
I saw a video that was from maybe the Osaka train system, and there were 2 black girls on a Japanese train, and they were behaving very badly. There was a video I saw. It was on America's Funniest Home Videos, actually. And it was Halloween, and there was, you know, a front porch. And on the front porch, there were some decorations, and there was a kind of like a zombie character that was sitting on the front porch, and it looked like a dummy. And, you know, some white kids come up, and all of a sudden the zombie starts moving, and they all scream and run away. And then some more white kids come up, and he stands up, they all scream and run away. And then some more kids come up, but one of them was black. And all of a sudden he stands up, and within a split second, the black guy punches the zombie in the face. And then he starts apologizing. But the thing was, that was his instinct reaction, was to punch the guy in the face.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on the way back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, welcome back. This is the abbreviated disclaimer version of National Bugle Radio with Patrick and Philbert. And, like, we're not all racist, but et cetera. Okay, et cetera.
Right.
Fill in the blank. Anyway, so just before the break, I mentioned a funniest home video of a black trick-or-treater punching a surprise zombie, a white surprise zombie in the face as an instinct. And he apologized. It's like it wasn't malicious, but it was just his instinct. Whereas for the, you know, there's the fight or flight thing, and the whites like immediately just ran away from the zombie, perhaps because they really didn't see it as a threat. Whereas the black guy just like boom, punched him right in the face, and then oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But during the break, you had me look at a video, and I'm only halfway through the video. I'm only like a minute 27 seconds into this video. If you go to Renegade Tribune. And I'll have to put a link to this. Actually, you'll have to go to nationalbugle.com. I'll put a link to it there. And it says, black man stabs 12-year-old white boy in the neck and yells at white devils. No mainstream media outrage. And this happened last month in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But if you go to that page and you scroll down a little bit past that, you get to, I guess it's a BitChute link, and it shows... there's like about a 3-minute video It's just a compilation. It's this guy saying melanin comes with compassion, and then it cuts to black people just maliciously and seemingly without any provocation sucker punching white people. And I would say that, okay, this is, you know, this is a 3-minute compilation that we've never seen before. Most of these things I've never seen before. I've seen a lot of stuff from Colin Flaherty's video YouTube channel. But my question is, would you be able to put together a 3-minute compilation with as much violence of white people attacking blacks? And you can start off with Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck. Start with that and try to put together. Could you put together one?
No, not and because, well, the media could, right? But it would only be a video of whites self-defending them, you know, self-defense. So, I mean, in that sense, I would say no, because like you mentioned,
this is why
like,
they have
I've never heard stuff. Of like a roving group of white men like running around and playing the knockout game, right? Like, when has that ever happened?
Doing that, like, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It only happens in Jewish-produced Hollywood movies.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. And this is something that Colin Flaherty would always challenge, you know, because he would get people who would write to him saying, "Oh, you're cherry picking. There's white people do it too." And he said, "Okay, white people do it too. Send me the videos. Send me the videos." Because
Seen a lot of this, and I watched a lot of Colin Flaherty too, before he just disappeared off the face of the earth, I guess, but. You know, this one, a
he
lot
got
of this,
so it off the face of the earth.
Basically. This is hard to watch. Like some of this stuff is really hard to watch, and it's almost depressing because, you know, just to know that there's people out there will do this, you know, and not only that, but it's not like they're individualized, right? It's like a group of people doing something. They all have a couple of things in common, including genetics. Mm-hmm. So it's. And it's underreported. It's just depressing or not reported, you know. Back page in this case would be like an understatement. So it's very disappointing and depressing.
So this is why there you go for the whole police violence thing. Because there is no white violence against black. It's not a thing. So the only time you're going to have any kind of physical confrontations between whites and blacks is when white police officers, any confrontation that ends up poorly for the blacks, right, is when black police officers are responding to black criminals. And most of the time, we don't hear anything about it because the black criminals get away or they get arrested and put in jail. But every now and then, you get something where the police officer winds up using the force, the deadly force or whatever, and a problem can be made of it. And and even these cases, there's none of them are really even such good cases, right? I mean, Floyd was stoned sitting in his car. He had been engaged in like the counterfeiting thing, but then he was too what do you call it? It's not high, really. He was too opioided out to get away because he was passed out from opioids, and his companions were saying, let's get out of here, and he was just asleep because he was overdosing. But of course the fentanyl kicked in, methamphetamine kicked in, the adrenaline kicked in, and he got in the stroke. He's relatively sympathetic compared to these other people. So many, I mean, you've got the outrage in Columbus, Ohio, because of this girl who was literally half a second from slitting the throat of another black girl, and she got shot. If she hadn't been shot when she was, almost certainly, I mean, you look at the trajectory of that knife, she had a girl pinned against the car, and she was plunging a giant kitchen knife into the girl's neck, and within what seemed like inches, she got shot. And now she is the martyr.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that for Hollywood? You know, like, that's realistic. Like, because that really happens, you know, like, literally. Where's the Hollywood movies that have that in it? You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of Hollywood movies will have somebody on the verge of being stabbed to death or murdered somehow. And then the murderer is all of a sudden killed. But yeah, the person pulling the trigger is actually the hero in the movie. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in the inverse matrix, or the inverse side of the matrix, or however you want to look at it. You know, we're on the other side of the coin that should be reality.
We are at the point where there should be so much cognitive dissonance.
Courts now are turning. Have you ever seen that movie, Idiocracy? If you've seen that, or anybody has seen that, it's like our courts have become their, like, how that is in the movie, where they just, like, line people up, and the judge is like, guilty! And the next one comes up, guilty! And, like, there's just one word to the trial, and, like, that's it. Like, just guilty, guilty. Like, it's it's pretty much how we're becoming now. I mean, there's procedures, you know, to get to the guilt now, but, you know, before long, it's just going to be, if you're white, you're guilty. You know, it's scary.
And so the Asians come here. And I know I've mentioned this a couple of times on the show. 30 years ago, there was a case in Japan of a school that had a gate, a front gate that was on a timer, and it was mechanized. It was powered, and it would slam shut. This steel gate would slam shut at precisely 9 a.m. A girl was late, and if you didn't get in, you weren't getting in for the day. And this girl was running to she was late. She was running to get there. She tripped right in front of the gate just as it was slamming shut, and it crushed her skull, and she died. And even in relatively civilized Japan, you still had a significant minority saying, yeah, but she was late for school.
Right, yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, these Korean, there aren't very many Japanese immigrants, but the Korean immigrants, the Chinese, who come here, and they see this stuff, they're like, Why are you letting these black people do this? And of course, they behave so poorly in school. I remember in my own school, this was, you know, very early after desegregation, like when I was in fifth or sixth grade, maybe it was sixth grade or fifth grade, hearing about Michelle, who was being such and such she was being sexually molested in the bushes by these black boys. Now, at fifth grade, 11 years old, I didn't really understand. Nobody really understood what that meant. And so I guess it never got reported. But this is the type of thing. This is what goes on. And
it's horrible.
It's been such a disaster.
But it's important that people know it's out there. So, I mean, it's depressing, yes, but it's important that it's like, don't regret this knowledge, like, you know, just embrace it and prepare accordingly. Always be vigilant when you go out. If you can, carry a weapon, you know, even if it's just a pocket knife, you know, but and just be vigilant. Avoid getting in an elevator, you know, or tight spaces. I mean, I know it gets a lot to remember, but you know, just watch for anybody at night that where you can only see their eyes or their teeth if they smile.
Well, yeah, with the Darlie toothpaste, which used to, the L used to be a K. But, you know, there are people that we like. We like our Jesse Lee Peterson and our Reverend Manning.
Yes, I really like Jesse Lee Peterson.
And there are, you know, there are older black men in particular, black men more than women, and maybe it's partly because they've been so marginalized by the you know, the welfare oriented culture, because welfare, what did that do? That meant that they weren't needed in the family anymore, but so a lot of them may be very sensible. But here's the thing, you also have blacks who, you know, because to be 100% perfectly honest, and we're trying to be 100% perfectly honest, not mean, but honest, you have a bigger percentage of the black population that is has lower cognitive skills, you know, lower IQ, however you want to say it, a bigger percentage compared to whites or compared to Asians. A bigger percentage of blacks have a tendency towards violence. And then at the other end, a smaller percentage of blacks are capable of, high-skilled jobs, surgeons, lawyers, whatever. Doesn't mean none are, some are. But here's the big problem, is the ones that are high-performing almost invariably will take advantage of not just their own skills or talents, but also the affirmative action that is afforded to them.
And they'll try to manipulate people too. They'll manipulate in any way possible. Oftentimes they're very dishonest, not always.
So they take advantage of, they get the economic benefits, move out of their own community, but they don't embrace the community they move into. They move into the community for whatever reason, and there is some incentives here because they are incentivized by the Jewish power structure to act like this, but they seem to have a high in-group preference, and so even though they've left their own community, moved into the white community, they maintain a big black identity, and they advocate on behalf of the blacks they left behind. Not just advocating in such a way as to improve the black situation. No, they advocate in such a way as to excuse their bad behavior and blame the bad behavior of the blacks they left behind on the whites who they've moved in with. Probably this could be expressed a lot better, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Right, yeah. No, you're spot on. You're spot on, yeah. We pay for all of it, too.
So if it was blacks, high-performing blacks, and it's like, well, and they were moving into our neighborhoods, moving into our professions or companies or whatever, they're moving in and are truly integrating into white society, it'd be like, well, you know, who are we to refuse them to live in our civilization? Who are we to try to force them to live in the jungle? But if they're going to come in and then try to enforce white guilt on us and try to keep the door open for the poor performing blacks to, you know, come in to do everything bad, to bring their bad behavior into our neighborhoods, into our societies, that's a very different story. And that seems to be the trend. Am I mistaken?
No, you just mentioned what the Jews do to a T.
Yeah, well, it's the Jews, and the Jews do it. The Jews do it too. I was talking about the blacks, actually, but the Jews.
Oh, yeah, right. The blacks try to keep the door open for themselves. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Jews. And right now in the United States, you've got this Jewish-Black coalition. And I'm always asked, especially by foreigners, why aren't there sensible blacks who are standing up? You know, why do all the blacks follow Black Lives Matter? And I say, you know, you got people like Reverend Manning and Jesse Lee Peterson. What kind of budget do they operate on? Maybe they can support themselves and a couple other people on whatever budget they have. Maybe they can employ a couple of people. Look at Black Lives Matter. Because of the Jewish power, they are allowed to shake down all of these corporations, and they have hundreds of millions of dollars just for Black Lives Matter. Maybe billions of dollars. And so how is Minister Farrakhan going to compete with that?
Yeah, gotta crush the anti-fash mob, but I don't know how to do it. Can't do it alone. We gotta spread the word, and we gotta organize somehow. But how do you organize at a time like this. Like, even if you look at Weimar, or, you know, we're basically Weimerica now, but even in Weimar, right, the Germans were able to organize and everything, and they weren't
facing Weimar solutions.
Yeah, they weren't facing a sea of refugees and, you know, and not even refugees, just, you know, legal immigration, you know, that's of a different race either. So I don't think that's a fair comparison, obviously. But, yeah, Weimar conditions require Weimar solutions, as Ernest Zundel said.
Ernest Zundel. Well, I mean, we have co-certified.
It's always a good place to start.
We've got RBN. We've got some things. It's a start.
And cryptocurrency.
Okay. Hey, we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
And we are back, and just to switch gears a bit, the, what do you call it, a cryptocurrency dealing operation, Coinbase, it just listed on the NASDAQ within the past week. I think it was earlier this week. What is Coinbase, and what do they do?
Well, they're a cryptocurrency broker. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't use them, though. I mean... For one, the app will spy on you, and secondly, they're very political. Like, if you try to send crypto that you have to a Bitcoin address that they don't like, say it's just somebody you want to donate to, like Dr. Duke or you know, somebody may listen to that, you know, they're like, oh my God, that's not going to happen. That will go through, the transaction will, but after that, they may ban your account, and oftentimes they do. So it's you don't want to risk that, and it's stupid. And yeah, they're very political. And they've come out recently and said that they're not going to be political anymore, but I don't know. I think they're just trying to – they probably were losing money for a while, but –
So if you're going to do crypto, you need a wallet, at least one wallet. Or I don't know much about it, but
you can buy crypto from an ATM. Like, honestly,
that's all. You put it in your pocket?
Well, no. You can buy it with cash that way, is what I mean.
And then where do you go? You have to have a wallet, right?
Right, yes. You can put it there's a scanner on the device, on the ATM, and you put your phone up to it. Is like, and it reads the QR code on your phone, and that's where it knows to send the crypto to. So you do have to have a wallet, but you could have a paper wallet.
It could be
too.
A Coinbase wallet, but it could be some other kind of wallet.
Yes. Yes, as long as it's on the blockchain, the Base32, I think. I don't know a lot.
I don't know much about this stuff, and it's important, and it's...
I've worked with crypto quite a bit.
I know you have. And I've had to try to explain it multiple times. It's important, and us boomers should learn it.
There's a Chinese company that actually doesn't censor people and stuff, and they offer a wide range of coins, and they're about the second biggest. They're called Binance.
Binance?
Binance, yeah. Like finance, only with a B.
Wow.
So,
that down.
Yeah, they're good, and I've never had any problems with them. They're a good third-party choice, a secondary choice, rather.
Because I would rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews, and I'll say it for sure.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I said that to a friend in a conversation, and he looked at me and giggled and said, well, I don't want to be ruled at all. I'm like, yes, I agree. Yeah, but I'm like...
But right we're not now, being offered that choice, are we?
Yeah, I'm like, we don't have rule right now, you know, and, you know, that opened up a conversation, you know.
You know, okay, well, we only have a minute or so left. So, shucks, we were going to play one of your songs, weren't we?
That's okay. We can play next week. Or I'm going to have to upload all my music. I really need to do some more music, but I still do play in a band, and we still have practice and shows and stuff that we do, or parties, rather, not really show.
Do you have a BitChute channel?
I do have a BitChute channel. I've been having problems with my songs not playing on there. Like, it'll just buffer, and I've heard other people have that issue, too. So I don't know if it's the correct format I'm using or not, but there has been a site I've been using a lot called World Truth Video. It seems to work, so...
Well, we will get a link to your music from nationalbugle.com. How's that?
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. And so I'll talk to you next week, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.